It's the weekend, time for rest, relaxation, and another edition of New Wisco Weekend, a weekly look at issues, arts, entertainment, culture, and everything that makes New Wisco home. Now, here's your host, Northeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief, Lisa Hale.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'd like to take this moment to welcome new listeners on WGBW in Green Bay, and of course our listeners on WISS in Oshkosh. New Wisco Weekend is a news magazine that focuses on the stories, issues, and culture of Northeast Wisconsin. Today, our cover story features the varied voices from Oshkosh Pride. Amanda Nimmer takes us on a journey back in time with a look at one of her favorite summer destinations. We have your thoughts from the Civic Media Truth Booth, and Conrad Krieger has a story on pickleball. Todd Michaels puts together the perfect It's Still Summer playlist. The much-anticipated Crossroads 41 comes to Oshkosh Festival Park this week. We All Rise in Green Bay works to provide support to people of color, and the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin helps another group. We'll have all of those stories. Pete Schwabe raises the curtain on a classic movie. But first, Terry Barr says, take a hike. Seriously, take a hike. It's August in Northeast Wisconsin, and there's still more than a month and a half of summer left to enjoy. So why not head outside for a walk along one of the most remarkable trails in the state? Created by nature when glacial ice flowed through the landscape more than 12,000 years ago, the Ice Age Trail is considered one of the world's best examples of the way glaciers sculpted our planet. And it's right here for you to enjoy. Let's join Terry Barr for a tour.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe that I never knew this was here. It's taken me to just some of the most amazing places in the state.
Parts of the state where you'll find breathtaking prairies and nature to enjoy. Yet every few miles of the Ice Age Trail, something different is revealed, and it's often surprising. The footpath is now 1,200 miles through 30 Wisconsin counties. Melissa Pyrick is the Ice Age Trail's PR director.
The Ice Age Trail is a 1,200-mile footpath. It either begins or ends in St. Croix Falls at Interstate State Park, and then it travels east for a while, then drops through the center of the state, and goes as far south as Janesville, and then turns up toward Pottawatomie State Park in Sturgeon Bay.
Started in the 1950s, the trail follows the state's unique glacial landscape, and it's maintained by volunteers.
We have thousands of volunteers that participate in trail building projects from like all over the state. We actually, in the whole National Park Service, we ranked number 5 for our volunteer hours.
It's also one of just 11 in the country designated as a national scenic trail. So enjoy a hike while renewing your physical and mental health, and watch for the beauty around every corner.
We have people that hike the trail repeatedly, and they do it because it's always a different experience. You know, they try and hike the segments in different conditions, and it's always just something new.
Learn more about it in your area at iceagetrail.org. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Terry Barr.
I got my first real six string, bought it at the 5 and dime, played it till my fingers bled.
As Lisa said at the top of the show, welcome again to our listeners on WGBW in Green Bay. Welcome to the new Wisco family, along with our family already listening on WISS in the Valley. I'm Todd Michaels. I'm putting together that summer playlist for you. And of course, Brian Adams, Summer of 69. How can you not include that in your summer playlist? This is New Wisco Weekend on WGBW and WISS.
In just a moment, our favorite part of New Wisco Weekend. Our correspondent, Amanda Nimmer, tells us about one of her favorite Wisconsin activities. First, this sport is taking the nation by storm and is developing passions in Wisconsin. Conrad Krieger reports.
That is the sound of the sport pickleball, played nationally, but you can also see it here in Wisconsin. This week, we're going to look into a sport that has become popular over the last couple years, Pickleball. Pickleball can be related to tennis or ping pong, but pickleball comes with a lighter ball made of plastic similar to wiffle ball. I talk more with WBAY morning anchor and pickleball enthusiast Emerson Lehman.
Pickleball is taking over America. That's what I would say. It's a smaller court than a tennis court, but you use paddles, a type of like wiffle ball type ball that's used. And it is just, it's such a cool sport. I think it's the past 5 or 6 years, it's been the fastest growing sport in America. And I mean, just millions upon millions continue to try it and give it a shot. And once you play it, you're hooked. So there it is.
If I wanted to start, say, playing today, how much would it cost me? How would I train to do something like that?
You could go buy a $20 paddle at Walmart. That'll come with a set of two paddles and a ball, and you could go out, you and a buddy could go start playing at a public park tonight. If you want to get a little more into it, there's obviously more expensive, well-manufactured paddles that get you going. But there's like different organizations are doing like pickleball giveaways. There's pickleball night at the Timber Rattlers games. There's all types of people are doing things to get these paddles out into the public and just get you trying it, right? You go out, you hit a paddle, you try. A lot of places, a public park you go to, if people are there playing, they'll let you jump in with them and be a part of it because they want to grow the game too, right?
Yeah.
And that's what's another thing I really love about it is that you can just be welcomed in by anybody.
It's not a sport right now in the WIA.
It's not.
Do you think it should be?
I would love to see it.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if it's not at some point. I don't know how that whole process works, but I know that there's high schools. I know there's a county out east on the East Coast that they are recognizing it as a varsity sport.
Oh, wow.
And that's awesome. A lot of colleges are now offering, like a lot of colleges have pickleball teams. And I think at some point it'll become an NCAA sport. And when that happens, why wouldn't you want high schools to be playing it and preparing your students to potentially, I mean, one day maybe there's a pickleball scholarship out there, right? Like it's just such a growing sport and it's blown up so much, but I think it's still growing.
Why do you think Wisconsin is a great place to play pickleball?
So cool. The growth that our state is seeing. Like in the last like year and a half, there's been three facilities that I know of that have opened specifically for pickleball. There's one in Manitowoc, there's one in Appleton, there's one in Oshkosh.
Okay.
Then you have these YMCA tennis centers who are lining their tennis courts with pickleball lines because they see the growth, they see a need for indoor play.
Yeah.
So during the winter month, you have all these indoor facilities. There's another one that's coming to Appleton later this fall that's going to have like 11 indoor courts. So you have all these different entrepreneurs who say, wow, I see this growth here and there's a need when it's snowing 6 months out of the year or it's freezing cold out. People can't be outside, right? So you have all these awesome outdoor courts and these awesome parks and whatnot where you can play it in the summer, spring, summer, fall time. And then once winter rolls around, those 4 or 5, sometimes 6 months, you have all these indoor places to go. And that's really, really cool to see because it helps grow the game. And it's just a really cool region to be a part of. When I moved up here, I was so pumped because I knew how big of a pickleball scene Green Bay and the Fox Valley had. And it has not disappointed me yet.
That was WBAY morning anchor and pickleball enthusiast Emerson Lehman. With New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
It's our favorite time of New Wisco Weekend. Our correspondent, Amanda Nimmer, provides commentary on one of her favorite Wisconsin activities.
It's officially August, and what's at the forefront of everyone's mind? Well, that would be the fact summer's ending. The kids are about to go back to school, which for some of us is a treat. But at the same time, it makes you sad because those family trips are going to be coming to an end. And quite frankly, at this point, everyone's just waiting for Halloween and Christmas. So with just 4 weekends left, or 4 entire weeks, depending on your job schedule, what's left on the list of things to do before time runs out? Have you gone camping already? Gone to the beach? A concert? The fairs? Participating in those outdoor sports? Sitting and reading a book on the porch? What's left that you can fit in to this small time frame before the season's over? Well, the answer, my friend, is to go to the Renaissance Fair.
No!
Yeah, okay, I get it. there's some certain stereotypes that may come with the Renaissance Fair, but hear me out and give it a chance. Because if you haven't gone, you're missing out on a brand new world. This isn't just for fandoms. This isn't just for historians. This, my friend, is for anyone. And Wisconsin has a Ren Fair of its own. It's down in Bristol. It may be quite a drive, but when you go to the Ren Fair, you're there all day, not just a couple hours. The Renaissance Fair, the Bristol Renaissance Fair, is literally a world of its own. You will walk into a time period where knights were once noble, the maids are merry and carrying around beer or meat, screaming, "Meat!" So that way you know where to get the meat. And the turkey legs are gigantic. What are some things that you can do at the Ren Fair? Well, I'm glad you ask. You can watch the joust. Yes, I said it. An actual frickin' joust with horses and pointy things pointed at another person going at fast speeds, trying to knock the shield off the other one. Yes, you could go to medieval times and just eat dinner and watch that, but there's so much more than just the joust. There's fairies, there's pirates, there's archery. Have you ever seen someone crack a whip on fire? Because I sure have, because Adam Crack is at the fair every weekend. There are themed weekends and pub crawls, and they have their very own Ren Con, which, yes, leans more on the nerdy side, but come on, this is cool. Because if you've ever been to Disney World, of which I have not, or Disneyland, which I'm told is different, and I still have not, everyone there stays in character. And that's the same that happens here. And they won't break character. You'll get to see aerial silk acrobats up in the trees. You can have an audience with the queen, yes, and her entire court will be there to knight you. To knight you. You can become a knight. And this isn't just she's going to use a sword and tap you. Boom, you're done. You get a certificate. There are chalk artists, sword fighting, all the bards that you'd ever want to hear, and a bunch of merchants from the olden times. Blacksmiths, candle makers, people who make their own instruments. And also, yes, many different variety of foods on a stick. And if you're sitting there in awe wondering who is responsible for bringing such an imaginative place to life, you can thank radio. Because in 1963, the very first one in California was founded as a fundraiser for a radio station. The Ren Fair isn't just for nerds. And while, yes, nerds may flock there, this is a chance to escape the regular day-to-day that can be filled with so much negativity due to the time of year it is. So why not travel back in time and have fun for a day, a weekend, or as many times as you'd like? And who knows? Maybe at the end of it, you'll find yourself becoming a nerd. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
When we come back, the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin, Crossroads 41, and Pete Schwab's classic movie pick of the week, all on New Wisco Weekend.
Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Those days of soda and pretzels and beer. Roll.
This is New Wisco Weekend on WGBW and WISS. Plus, you can listen on the Civic Media app. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, our cover story with the many varied voices of Northeast Wisconsin Pride in Oshkosh, our classic movie pick of the week from Pete Schwab, and then a look at Crossroads 41. First, while Wisconsin does a good job of helping those with autism and other disabilities, Kate Hess, the executive director with the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin, says more can be done.
If you look at the services available in schools, it could be improved greatly, greatly. We talk about students with disabilities, and it's not just children with autism, but they need more supports at schools so that they can succeed later in life.
The Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin works to help people in 53 counties throughout the state affected with autism find the supports and connections that they need to thrive.
What we're trying to do is build a network and a community of people who can support each other. So it's not up to us necessarily to provide a bunch of services for people. It's about connecting people because everybody needs something different.
Just like a child with autism grows up to be an adult with autism, so the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin is also growing and learning, Hess says.
We're learning new things every day. And so as people grow up with autism, we're trying to find new ways to support them as well. So it's not just supporting the parents or the children with autism, but as the children grow into adults, what supports and services are available for them as adults? So we're learning, you know, we're kind of, what they say, you're building the ship as you're flying it. We're doing that as well.
You can learn more about the supports and services available at autismgreaterwi.org.
Drums, please.
This is New Wisco Weekend on WGBW and WISS, and your summer playlist continues with DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince and Summertime.
Here it is, a groove slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix. And if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it.
Coming up in just a few minutes, I've got a look at Crossroads 41, which comes to Oshkosh this week. First, a new segment on New Wisco Weekend, Pete Schwabba's Classic Movie Pick of the Week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's Classic Movie Pick of the Week.
For this week's flick, we go back to 1986 and Stand By Me, which was directed by Rob Reiner. In the film, four friends search for a missing boy and discover his dead body near some train tracks.
None of us could breathe. Somewhere under those bushes was the rest of Ray Brower. The train had knocked Ray Brower out of his keds, just like it had knocked the life out of his body.
Jesus.
The kid wasn't sick. The kid wasn't sleeping. The kid was dead.
Throughout the film, the friendship of the four main characters is put to the test repeatedly by local bullies, their home lives, and especially when they are confronted with leeches that latch onto precarious areas of the body. The film is set in Oregon, which provides a beautiful backdrop for Reiner's film, which was adapted from the Stephen King book, The Body. Stand By Me is one of those iconic films that launched or helped advance many acting careers. The cast includes a young River Phoenix, Jerry O'Connell, Corey Feldman, Will Wheaton, and Kiefer Sutherland. Aided by the fact that it's a period piece, Stand By Me totally holds up after almost 40 years. Despite being beautifully shot and having lots of dramatic tension, the charm of the film comes from the tight bond between the four friends who are all from different backgrounds. As the film alludes to, these are the kind of friendships most people never see as grown-ups. Stand By Me can be streamed on Fandango, Amazon Prime, and Apple TV. And that's your classic movie pick of the week. Join me weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwab.
As a fellow movie lover, I am looking forward to future episodes of the Classic Movie Pick of the Week right here on New Wisco Weekend. Following the demise of Country USA and Rock USA, Oshkosh is ready to turn it up once again. Crossroads 41 holds its inaugural event from August 8th through the 10th at Oshkosh Festival Park. Manager John Gourley says Crossroads 41 is made up of a group of people who have vast experience in live events, from putting on events like Coachella, Stagecoach, or Formula One, to providing security for the likes of the Super Bowl and Taylor Swift.
We've really gone out with all of our collective experience and sat down and said, we love concerts, we love festivals. What's the future like? How do we reinvent this festival experience? And that's what people are going to see August 8, 9, 10 in Oshkosh.
The festival takes place in Oshkosh Festival Park, which covers over 350 acres of land. It could hold up to 50,000 people every day.
Hence the name Crossroads 41, right off of Highway 41, directly across the interstate from the EAA site. So we're 15 minutes from downtown Oshkosh. We're that interstate runs to every population center up and down the state. So it is easy to get to, and the site is our secret weapon.
Gourley said Crossroads 41 spent quite a bit of money to get the Oshkosh Festival Park off of I-41 ready.
We spent over $2 million already on the site, but a chunk of that is 20 miles of Dreamtop. That's bound to help if we happen to get a wet day.
They added grandstands, revamped the entrance, added drainage to keep concert goers dry. All the changes, Gourley says, were designed to increase the customer experience at the three-day festival.
We've been doing these gigantic festivals for a ton of years, and the key elements, it's all about that customer experience. From the moment when they turn right into your driveway to when they leave that evening or at the end of the show on Saturday night.
This year's headliners are Old Dominion, Brooks and Dunn, and Journey. While it's a country-leaning festival, it does include other genres.
The name was not accidental. The idea of Crossroads is to do a mix of music. We think people are ready to see bands that are kind of mixed genres, so to speak. One of our other reputation pieces in the festival world is picking bands right before they explode.
The festival will feature vendors for shopping. Food and beverages will be available for purchase. And Gourley says there'll be some surprises that haven't been done in festivals before. The event will be cashless. There is a charge for parking. All ticket information can be found at Crossroads 41's website.
Well, I'm gonna raise a fuss. I'm gonna raise a holler. About working all summer just to try and earn a dollar. Every time I call my baby to try to get a date, my boss says, no dice, son, you gotta work late. Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, cause there ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story on Oshkosh Pride, a look at We All Rise African American Resource Center in Green Bay, our truth booth, and Terry Barr brings us 7,000 apart. All right after the news.
If you have a story idea for New Wisco Weekend, reach out to us on our Facebook pages for WISS or WGBW. Just search for them and send us a message, and we'll look into the story idea for you. This is New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
New Wisco Weekend from Civic Media. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. If you have an idea for a story you'd like us to cover, please feel free to reach out anytime. My email is lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. We want you to feel like New Wisco Weekend is your news magazine. Now we're going to turn the page to our cover story, The Varied Voices of Oshkosh Pride. June is Pride Month for the LGBTQ plus community. Oshkosh was no different. WISS was at the Pride celebration in Oshkosh on June 29th at the Leach Amphitheater. We brought our truth booth and took the time to talk with several participants on what Pride means to them. Here are some of their stories. We'll start with a person who wanted to remain anonymous.
Well, I came out as queer when I was in high school in 2015. Came out as bisexual, and I came out as non-binary in 2021, and it's been a very scary and rocky road, and I finally feel 100% safe to be myself around everybody that I love, and actually, I feel like I'm not completely out yet because I'm also polyamorous, and I haven't been able to fully explore that or tell people that I love and care about and feel comfortable with it. So I'm here because I want to be surrounded by people who get me.
Destiny says she found community at the event.
Well, I came out as bisexual to my family in 2017. I've been pretty much completely shunned by some of my family, but like accepted by a very few, like My mother is one that accepted. My sister. And I have my community here. But it's been a very rough road since I came out. And I've been judged. I've been called all kinds of names. I've been told, pick a side. And it's been a very rough, especially this year. It's been a really rough year for me. I guess I would say it's a lot of the misinformation about people that are like bisexual. Like, not many people know information about it, so like they don't see that it's like, it's kind of hard to explain, but it's like, nope, not many people know a lot about it, and they assume it's like the people that are bisexual don't know how to pick a side, or like, you can only choose one side or the other. You can't like both. And I'm like, I try to say it's like, it's not that you don't want to pick a side. It's that you don't dislike either gender. You like both. There's like, I always say, love is love. That's kind of why it's been kind of rough. Not very many people are very open. This county is, I would have to say, is one of the most open counties I've seen in Wisconsin. And I've been to like many, and this just happens to be the one I feel the most welcome to, because I regularly come and leave with Oshkosh, and I can't ever seem to leave it because it's such a beautiful, and people are beautiful.
Families came out to the event together, families like Eva and her mother.
So I am a gender fluid person that likes boys. I found out I was attracted to boys by fifth grade. I figured out what pride and LGBTQ was. So I was like, wow, I like this. This is really cool. So I changed my background on my computer to it. I was like, this is cool. It's cool. So, and then some people saw it and picked on me for 2 years, kind of ongoing-ish, it goes on and off, and that's when I realized I actually was gay, and then I wanted to be a woman, so, but then I also have to be a boy sometimes because of our neighborhood is not the most welcoming, so I am gender fluid and I like boys, and that's my story.
I'm Eva's mom, and I've been bi my whole life, but he didn't know until just recently, and it kind of brought us closer, but I've always been a supporter of them, and I support a lot of people in our community that aren't able to come out, and I'm going to be known in our area as the big mama in the area, and I'll be there, and I'll advocate for you, and You have somebody to call mom, you have somebody to call sister, grandma. I'm there for you. So, and I love my girl.
My hat is going into your face.
Okay.
Shannon was there supporting her transgender son.
He just turned 18 last year, and he came out about when he was around 11 or 12. And I've just been trying to, you know, go through this journey with him and try to understand what he's going through and his emotions and his feelings. And it's really changed me as a person. I've really learned a lot. I've become very educated about, you know, transgender rights and just how, you know, kind of the political platform right now is a little frightening for my kid. And I'm just so proud of my kid. I'm so happy that he's actually living his true self and his real life. And I'm just, you know, it's just been a really emotional journey, but it's a good journey too. So,
Evie expressed a wish to see more people like her.
I wish people were more accepting to the idea of people not falling in love. More people have heard the idea of asexuality, about how people are not interested in having sex. But I am aromantic, and it's the other one, where it's like you don't feel romantic attraction, so you don't like fall in love, you don't have that like, I want to marry you sort of thing. It's the other one, and people are very uncomfortable to that idea, because when people try to explain asexuality, it tends to be like, well, don't worry, I can still fall in love and get married. For me, it's the exact opposite of, no, I don't do that. I do the other thing that makes people uncomfortable, and people don't like that. And it doesn't get mentioned enough, I feel, like, because it's like nobody likes the idea of that you don't have the other person, which I don't understand, because all it does is just gives them more options to fall in love. I'm not taking anybody.
Gloria, who came out in 2011, said the joy that comes with Pride is what brings her out to these celebrations.
Pride is a wonderful celebration, but it's also, the original Pride was a riot, right? And so Pride is a time for the LGBTQ plus community to come together and say, we're here. Rebellion can be a very angry, loud thing, but it can also be a very joyous and wonderful thing. Because it's awfully convenient for other people if we're not happy with who we are about ourselves. So to come together and say, I'm loud, I'm proud, I'm LGBTQ of any kind, and to take joy in that. It's just such a wonderful, wonderful type of rebellion to have.
Lucas said the LGBTQ plus community helped him at a time when he needed it. Now he gives back while helping to organize Pride.
I tell my story to most people like this. I graduated on a Sunday, turned 18 on a Monday, and by Wednesday I was homeless. And then I
do have some people.
A lot of the people that I met all along the way, straight or not, were the village that made me me. And one of the ways that I can give back to that community is through Pride Fest. And really, I am just here to do whatever I can, whatever that is. I'm working with the food department right now, giving out great locally made food. I love to run around. It's a chance for me to experience all the things I didn't get to experience with people as a kid. I was blowing bubbles, I was handing out stickers, I was playing tag, I was getting mom hugs, I was watching people for 5 hours a year get to be themselves. And if I got to be part of that, then I'm right where I need to be.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, a story of personal growth in our truth booth.
You're listening to New Wisco Weekend on WGBW and WISS.
When members of the African American community in Green Bay need support, We All Rise is there to help. Robin Scott, Executive Director of We All Rise African American Resource Center.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the community can call our crisis line and they can be provided emotional support. In that sense, you can talk through any of the things that you're dealing with in the moment.
We All Rise offers crisis services for victims of sexual assault and other crisis situations. Scott said even mental health services are offered for free.
Have free comprehensive mental health, and so there's no billing associated with our psychological services, and that includes individual therapy, group therapy, and AODA services in the community.
To qualify for services from We All Rise, Scott says you need to have been a victim of a crime in your lifetime, or you need to have witnessed a crime firsthand. Once a person has completed intake, they'll have access to many services.
That gives you access to our clothing closet, our job center, our GED education with partnership with NWTC, or our youth programming that we have on site.
The agency offers 5 sectors of services: youth services, residential services, victim services, mental health services, and healing and partnership services. The residential services do include a 49-bed transitional housing facility for men.
You have to be ready. It's not just homelessness. I know that there's some shelters that take those that are dealing with habitual homelessness. For us, you have to be ready, willing to stay sober.
In addition to staying sober, Scott says residents must participate in their Pathways to Success programs. Those include education and violence prevention programs, as well as situations dedicated to alcohol and other drug abuse. The cost of the program is $100 per week. We All Rise operates at 430 South Webster Avenue in Green Bay. The transitional housing facility is at 430 Clay Street. For information, visit their website at weallriseaarc.org.
Honestly, I think I've got the best job on New Wisco Weekend. It's Todd Michaels putting more great songs in your playlist, your summer playlist this week. This is Garth Brooks and That Summer.
I went to work her that summer. A teenage kid so far from home. She was a lonely widow woman. Hell-bent to make it on her own. We were 1,000 miles from nowhere. Wheat fields as far as I could see. Both needing something from each other. Not knowing yet what that might be. Till she came to me one evening.
Whenever Civic Media is out and about in New Wisco, we like to offer people the opportunity to share what they're excited about, their story, the things they're passionate about, their truth, whether good or bad. We call it the Truth Booth. Today's Truth Booth participant is Sean. Sean left a successful corporate job to work for a nonprofit called Curative Connections.
So it's a crazy story. I worked in the corporate world for 17 years, and honestly, I was miserable. I had a job. I basically was keeping the job for the paycheck and the vacation time, and I just wasn't fulfilled. I was miserable every day coming home from work, and my wife and I started volunteering for the Green Bay Miracle League in 2017, and I just kind of thought, I want to do something more fulfilling. I ended up starting at Curative in 2018 as a case manager, worked up to team lead in the employment department, and now I'm the director. I got into this to make a difference, but it's truly our members that make a difference for me.
It's summertime, 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 summertime.
Coming up in just a moment, Terry Barr takes us on a musical journey to learn about the relationship built between Green Bay and Sweden. It's an amazing story of 7,000 apart. This is New Wisco Weekend. Back in just a moment.
And no more Dolce Umtree, because it's summertime. It's time to head straight for the mills. It's time to live and have some thrills. Come along and have a ball, a regular free-for-all. Well, are you coming or are you ain't? You slow folks, someone complained. Hurry up before I say it's summertime.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. There's a band that's gotten quite a bit of attention and is finding success across Northeast Wisconsin this summer. But what if I tell you that this group is based half of the time in Wisconsin and the other half of the time in Sweden? They're 7,000 apart. Civic Media's Terry Barr caught up with the duo.
Just say it, stop playing, see your feelings, rearrange them. Sing on the streets, sing on the sheets, sing through the wands, step in the feet. Give me a beat to live for free, make something the world has never seen. With a guitar, a tiny car, 2,000 miles to play at a bar. Loving to talk to fall a long way down. Singing to myself when nobody's around. Lights on my name till the lights go out. Lights on my name till the lights go.
Welcome to Amelie and John. They are of the band 7,000 Apart. We just heard this incredible song, Lights Go Down. What can you tell us about it?
This song in particular happened after we were on Sweden's Got Talent. Got a standing ovation from judges, like everyone in the audience, like for the show.
And then we were starting to talk to some record labels over in Sweden because of the Sweden's Got Talent thing. Things were just like, you know, it was on the up and up and things were feeling really good. And then March of 2020 hit and, you know, everything got canceled. We had over 70 shows that we had like booked ourselves for the summer. We were going to be full time for the first time. So this was a song that came out of us like talking about, is this the time that we quit? we'll always do music. And so that's what the song is about. Whether the lights are on you or whether the lights go down, you should keep doing what you love.
I love the story behind the name 7,000 Apart. And of course, the relationship that started in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Tell us more about this.
I'm originally from Stockholm, Sweden. And then when I was 17 years old, I decided I wanted to be an exchange student and go to the big United States of America. I end up with the most wonderful host family here in Green Bay and end up going to Preble High School. And that's where I met John.
Yeah, so we met in music theory class. We just became really good friends. But then we ended up becoming more than friends and ended up dating all of the senior year of high school for 3 years. We were 7,000 kilometers apart from each other.
Which is like 4,382 something miles.
Funny you know that.
Yeah. And so that's how it started. And then we finally got to be together in 2016, got married, and started pursuing the whole music thing, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a crazy journey since meeting each other, basically.
It is such a great story. And basically, since you were apart and then back together, I feel like you have written songs constantly.
We both write. I kind of grew up as a writer when I was about 11 or 12. And so for me, it was always a therapy and like a way of understanding the world around me.
John is like such a writer. Like he is through and through a songwriter.
With meeting Amelie, we've really found our own way of writing together. Mm-hmm. And
with others too.
And yeah, with co-writing and stuff. And I think it's just been something that we're honestly kind of just scratching the surface of. We love seeing people's reactions to what we make, you know, like when you play a song live and you see that people love it, like they're clapping or dancing, or even if they're just like crying too, sometimes that happens. People come up and tell you like, this song literally made a huge difference in my life today, or this album came out at the perfect time for me because whatever.
Yeah, we're all about, our latest album is called Feel Your Feelings, and that's really what we want. We want to have people feel their feelings, whether that is like, or like with Lights Go Down, it's kind of like fun and empowering, right? But then we also have songs that maybe make you cry a little bit, but I think all feelings are valid. And if we can get people to feel things, then we've done our job.
I want to ask you about the songwriting. Words first and then music?
I would say John first, then me. So John will usually come up with like a beginning of something.
Okay.
And then he'll take it to me and we'll finish it together.
I think we're getting to this point now where we're actually doing sessions where we're intentionally sitting down and just trying to write music. And when we do it that way, it can be, you know, it can sometimes even just be a drum beat. Like sometimes at this point we're producing music as we're writing too.
You have had quite the summer. I mean, and you still have August, September, it looks like, when I was looking at your tour. But you have played with some really big artists. What has that been like?
Yeah, we've gotten two incredible opportunities from Tidal Town here in Green Bay. And they do these things where they bring in bigger artists during summer for like free concerts. It's awesome. And so we were able to both open for Bebe Rexha and the X Ambassadors. This is the first time that we get to do something like that, and it was definitely a boost.
I still don't really know. I've tried researching to see if there's like any Green Bay artist that's become an international artist, and I don't,
or even national,
and I don't think there are any. I actually felt this when we were on stage opening for the X Ambassadors. I almost started crying just because I was like, this is so cool to be a Green Bay artist on stage with a national, international act following us, representing Green Bay, just because that's something that I didn't believe was possible when I was a kid.
We're going to go out with the song Started a Fire. This is really powerful. What can you tell me about this song?
The music industry is like, you see both the best and the worst in people, I think, in music.
And there's a lot of closed doors, and there's a lot of, you know, people that tell you you're not good enough, and there's people that tell you that you're doing this wrong and that wrong. And so we just put those frustrations into a song.
And talked about just burning the music industry down to the ground, basically. We're like, we're just going to do our own industry.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we've done. I mean, we've stayed completely independent so far, and we surround ourselves with the people that we love to work with, and so far so good.
Well, here we go. And I have to give you just a huge thank you to Amelie and John, 7,000 Apart. And here is the song that we were just talking about, Started a Fire. Thank you so much for talking
to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm tired of being second best. I'm sick of the feeling when they choose someone else. I'm tired of knocking at this door that everyone's been at before.
For being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at the stories and issues facing Northeast Wisconsin. New Wisco Weekend is produced by Todd Michaels, written and directed by Lisa Hale. It features correspondents Terry Bard, Conrad Krieger, Pete Schwaba, and Amanda Nimmer. Special appearances this week by 7,000 Apart. Comments, suggestions, or stories you'd like to hear covered? Well, drop me an email at lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
Someday I hope you learn that this world isn't yours to own.